Well, friends, this is the beginning of Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries number 20. We had a sudden ending of the previous meeting. It said that the organizer had ended the meeting. Well, I'm the only organizer, and unless I had typed some incorrect key, I don't know how the meeting became ended, but we were in the middle of talking about the three energies which affect the astral plane, and we were talking about the force of the constantly developing glamour and the disciples who are seeking to combat this, and the inflow of pure solar energy. And this was the question, this inflow of pure solar energy, I think maybe I have to put this here a little bit lower, because that's where it did end. Whether this came from the systemic astral plane wielded by the solar logos, or whether it occurred in relation to the cosmic astral plane. And here it seems to suggest that we have the astral force of our planet, which is distinctive of the planetary astral plane, and the astral force of the solar logos, the god of true love. And it doesn't make it seem as if it is a from the cosmic astral plane. And then there is the astral energy of the cosmic astral plane, which would be the astral body of the solar logos. So we have to discriminate here, because earlier I felt that the pure astral energy of the solar logos was from his cosmic astral body. This is the cosmic astral body. Okay, cosmic astral body of the solar logos. So are the last two really different? That is the question. And here, if we go a little bit higher, the inflow of pure solar astral energy under psychic law and the direction of the master working on the second path. So it seemed that this pure solar astral energy was coming from the cosmic astral plane. Okay, so I have to put in here, the question arises, does this pure solar astral energy come from the systemic astral plane or the cosmic astral plane? If it's so pure, it would seem that it would have to be coming from the cosmic astral plane. Okay. Now that was a sudden jolt to find the program ended right in the middle of the explanation. But okay, that's technology at the moment. So we have here what's called three types of astral energy are therefore related. That of our planet, that of our solar logos, which may well be systemic, and that of the cosmic astral plane. They do seem to be differentiated. These forces are symbolized to the manipulating master by a triangle, and in the old commentary it talks as follows. And remember that the word manipulation, which I suppose means the intelligent movement of the hand, are here connected with the fifth ray, and not only with the third ray. So as I pointed out, the word weaving and the word manipulation, both usually considered third ray words, are also connected with the fifth ray. The master throws himself under the liberating law of sacrifice into the vortex of astral life of the one to whom our Lord relates himself with humble joy. Now, our Lord, well, maybe let's just read this. And as the master works, there forms before his eye a triangle of force in shades of varying rose. By his magnetic power, it is the path of magnetic work, he concentrates the energy required, fifth ray, the ray of concentration. Then through this triangle of force, as through an open door, we remember the creative visualization and how important it is on this path. Through this triangle of force, as through an open door, he sends the potency of love into our planet until his cycle ends. He thus must work. So, who is the one to whom our Lord relates himself in humble joys? Our Lord is perhaps the planetary Logos. And the one is the solar Logos, I suppose. As the Master works, there forms a triangle. Before his eyes, the triangle of force in varying shades of rose. Probably the denser shades are having to do with the planetary astral body and the planetary astral plane, anyway. Because, in a way, you think of it. Yeah, I just realized this, that the when we go up here, the astral forces of our planet, distinctive of the astral plane in the three worlds of human enterprise. So, even the astral body of the planetary Logos is on the cosmic astral plane. So, we are here dealing with the lower astral plane, or the systemic astral plane, as the planetary Logos relates to it. And here we are dealing with the, still with the systemic astral plane, the systemic astral plane, but a purer area of it, one that is not characterized by the glamour which the human kingdom on our planet has created. And then, because the astral body of the solar Logos is on the cosmic astral plane, the astral body of the planetary Logos is on the cosmic astral plane, but we're dealing with actually the systemic astral plane first and then the cosmic astral plane. So this triangle through which the manipulating master works has three types of energy. The liberating law of sacrifice, that's always a important idea, because sacrifice always liberates, okay, into the vortex of the astral life of the one to whom our Lord relates himself with humble joy. Now, of course, this could be also, our Lord could be the solar Logos, and the one about whom naught may be said could be the one to whom our Lord relates himself in humble joy, maybe. But I think, you know, that might be taking it too far. And as the Master works, there formed before his eyes a triangle of force in shades of varying rose. It will include cosmic astral energy, solar logoic astral energy related to the systemic astral plane, and planetary logoic astral energy related to the systemic astral plane. By his magnetic power, he concentrates the energy required. He's in a second ray vortex. This master is in a great second ray vortex, and he concentrates the energy required. You know, the fifth ray above all. produces the beam of concentrated energy. Then through this triangle of force, as through an open door, he sends the potency of love into our planet. And this potency of love has to come. It has to come from the cosmic astral plane. So are there four forces involved? We must ask, are there four forces involved? Because we have the force of the planetary astral plane, the force of the solar astral plane, and the force of the cosmic astral plane. And then the potency of love, additionally, to the force of the cosmic astral plane. I'm not sure about that. Okay, maybe he'll say more. This is but a rough. Translation of some very ancient phrases, and is perhaps less symbolic than it may appear. So, actually dealing with energies in a triangular form, and dealing with the energy of rose color. I think I'll make one more abbreviation here, as I often use it, and we'll call it dealing with. Okay. It is in connection with this path that the work of the triangles, which I initiated, is related. So, what path will the Tibetan be taking after the path of Earth service, if that is what he's on now? So this is with the work of the triangles, and these triangles can be somehow stimulated by the triangular energy pouring in. I mean, that would be my guess. These, the triangles created by human beings can be stimulated by this triangularly applied energy involving three types of astral energy. The function of the triangles is in reality to facilitate the work of distributing the pure incoming energy, love energy, expressing itself as light and as goodwill into the hierarchy and humanity. What an amazing statement, and probably one that has been in the Esoteric Triangles newsletter for a long time, in which I probably never realized in this particular context. The function of these triangles is in reality to facilitate the work of distributing the pure incoming love energy, expressing itself as light and as goodwill into the hierarchy and humanity. I guess it behooves all of us to do what we can to promote this, because the world was never in more need of it, at least in my experience, than it is now. So not only the Buddhas of activity are involved in the triangle work, but the workers on the cosmic astral plane and on the path of magnetic work are also sending pure love, which can be used or which can be distributed through the triangles. Through the triangles. This deeply esoteric purpose of the triangles will not be understood by the general public, but some of you who read this will appreciate the opportunity to serve in this matter constantly. also reminds one of the law of magnetic impulse, which has a triangular basis. Law of magnetic impulse, which has a triangular basis and involves invocation of great lives. So we begin to see how this triangle network could be energized by pure love, demonstrating as light and goodwill. From the cosmic astral plane. I guess at this moment I'm kind of appreciating this opportunity in a deeper way than I ever have. Okay, the path of magnetic work takes the master, first of all, to the heart of the sun. And this is so important. We have to understand what the heart of the sun can also mean. Oh, yes, this is an amazing statement. We'll say what the heart of the sun can mean in addition to the soul of the soul of Logos. So, this is R.I. and page 402 and 403. Really an important piece of information, which I've always been emphasizing the heart of the sun as the egoic lotus, the soul nature of the soul of Logos. But here we seem to be thinking of it as the heart of the sun is on the cosmic etheric planes and is the heart center of the soul of Logos, is the etheric heart center of the soul of Logos, so it appears. So here I want to put this in a place where it can't get lost, and there we have it in the AAB extracts, what the heart of the sun can mean in addition to the soul of the soul of Logos. And I can also say this, I'll save it again, a little differently. We'll say heart of the sun as the etheric heart center of the solar Logos. Okay. So that is interesting and important. The path of magnetic work takes the master, first of all, to the heart of the sun. Now this, and from thence to the cosmic mental plane, passing through and pausing temporarily upon the cosmic astral plane. There is also, now this really has to be said, because I've just realized another thing here. The heart of the sun can also be on the cosmic astral plane, because there is a heart center on the cosmic astral plane, and not only on the cosmic etheric plane. So if we're going to rocket our way into the cosmic astral plane, we may find the astral heart of the sun. If masters on this path rocket their way onto the cosmic astral plane, they may find the astral heart center of the soul of Logos. This is sometimes called the heart of the sun, or the quote subjective sun, and at other times the heart of the sun. So we have three kinds of heart of the sun. And one is cosmic etheric. One is cosmic astral, subjective sun. And the other, one is cosmic mental and is the egoic lotus of the solar logos. Well, indeed, there would be an alignment, would there not, between the egoic lotus of the solar logos on the higher mental plane and a heart center for the solar logos, just as man has a heart center on the cosmic astral plane, on the astral plane, so the solar logos would have a heart center on the cosmic astral plane, and one would be on the cosmic etheric plane. So it's very important for us to realize the possible function of this heart center on the cosmic astral plane and the fact that it can be called the heart of the sun. So I want to say, I want to put this here as well, and I'm going to call it cosmic astral heart of the sun, heart of the sun, possibly. Okay. So we'll raise an initiation 402. RI 402 and 403. And again, AAB extracts, cosmic astral heart of the sun, possibly. Okay. So let's see further. The path of magnetic work takes a master, first of all, to the heart of the sun and from thence to the cosmic mental plane. It is like passing. It is like passing from the cosmic astral plane to the cosmic mental plane, passing through and pausing temporarily upon the cosmic astral plane. Well, that's a little ambiguous how that is said. Passing through and pausing, it's as if, you know, this also looks as if this passage also looks as if it began with a heart of the sun on the cosmic physical plane, thence to the cosmic astral plane, thence to the cosmic mental plane. But maybe not, one way or another. The heart of the sun, the kind of the heart of the sun here mentioned, is not on the cosmic mental plane. Not at first. Excuse me, to the cosmic astral plane. Okay. The above statement does not in reality refer to progress from point to point in an ordered sequence. It refers to high states of awareness and to a form of cosmic contact that is registered by the master from the point at which he stands upon this second path, for all planes are interpenetrating. So it's simultaneous experience of different hearts. H-O-S-S? No. Hearts of the sun. But I can do that too, if it ever becomes necessary again. hearts of the sun. Oh, there are more than one, so it appears. So it's not from point to point, because the heart chakras are interpenetrating. And it's like all these hearts that are uniting in the second ray method of healing, in the healing formula. It refers to high states of awareness and to a form of cosmic contact which is registered by the master from the point at which he stands on the second path. If it is cosmic contact, if cosmic contact, then we will be dealing with at least with the cosmic astral plane, which is registered by the master from the point at which he stands on the second path. And apparently there are different positions or elevations on which to stand. For all the planes are interpenetrating. This has been somewhat easy to understand in connection with our seven planes, as the rarer substances could be visualized as interpenetrating the denser. So, are the higher cosmic planes cosmic non-substantial and non-material? It is not so easy to comprehend. However, when we pass out of the cosmic physical plane in our imagination, needless to say, and enter those planes of which we know nothing and of whose composition and substance, if they are substantial, as we understand the term, we are totally ignorant. Besides that, we are not in a position to ascertain the truth. And I think Master DK is also referencing himself in relation to understanding the truth. Okay. Well, let's see. The method of the master's work upon this path is not easily understood. It can be summed up in the following words, which may bring some light via their united meaning, each phrase contributing an idea if due reflection is brought to bear upon them. This is really, friends, for me, the kind of ultimate stretch. I wonder how you feel about it. I know a few people who have ventured into the study of these cosmic paths, but how far have they gone? Anyway, Master DK is saying that of the cosmic astral plane, we don't know, are they substantial? In other words, do they have atoms and particles? Are the higher cosmic planes non-particulate? Sometimes in my Infinity book, I talked about non-particulate reality, a seamless reality in the world of being. But that was dealing with the highest possible planes in cosmos, as far as my imagination could even fathom that there might be such a thing. Okay, so we're not in the position to ascertain the truth, sure enough. So, due reflection should be brought to bear, because the method of the master's work upon this path is not easily understood. All right. Isolated unity, which is the position of the master, he dwells in oneness and non-duality. A positive focus, this is the mental attitude. What type of mind is he using? Sound under the law of attraction, the means employed. Now, sound in relation to the Akasha, of the monadic plane. And the tendency of the fifth ray type to reduce formula to sound. Precipitation, the intention visioned. See, this is a whole meditative formula. We begin with a state of isolated unity. We achieve a positive focus. We utilize sound. The sound causes precipitation. Passage through the triangle, the projection ensuing. And directive work under the law of distribution, direction towards the goal. So it gets even more specific as the energy flows towards the planetary part of our systemic astral plane, towards our planetary part of the systemic astral plane. So this is a meditative formula, I think. Isolated unity, we begin from that stage. And presumably, do we begin on the cosmic astral plane? That is the question. Is it in this heart of the sun? When you take a look at the funeral pyre and the four torches and the rocket-like star ascending, it does seem that it has broken free of the cosmic ethers and is somehow penetrated into the cosmic astral plane. On the path of absolute sonship, here's a question. And this is just occurs to me. Do the energies of the path of absolute sonship begin affecting the master on the path of magnetic work, making it possible for the for such a master to break up the electric spark so that it can reach the cosmic astral plane and later from thence proceed to the cosmic mental plane on the path of absolute sonship. In other words, you saw that I was a little mentally distressed by the idea that a worker on the cosmic astral plane would have to go back to the cosmic physical plane in order to break through a barrier which apparently he had already broken through. So I wonder if these two paths are like one path in a way. So are these two paths like one path with the higher constellation of which we know nothing, operating even as the path of magnetic work is starting and helping the master alchemically to break through as a volatile essence onto the cosmic astral plane? Well, it's a little abstruse, isn't it? And of course, we're not going to be in a position to ascertain this. All we can do, you know, is ask questions. I once had a bookstore, pretty mercury thing. It was called the Question Shop. And I think I'm good at asking questions, whether or not they can be answered by someone such as myself. I don't know, at least maybe not now. There is I have an asteroid, you know, this is astrology of a certain kind, but an asteroid of called Sphinx, and it is placed at a powerful position, I think, can't remember, it's been a long time ago, but high on the chart and very close to Mercury and the midheaven and so forth. And it says the tendency to ask unanswerable questions, because the Sphinx asked so many travelers questions which could not be answered, and then the Sphinx pounced upon the traveler and destroyed him. But I find myself here at least to ask the question, which is like an invocation of the answer. So if one can do nothing else, at least formulate the question. And the answer will be forthcoming at some point. Okay. These phrases may give some vague idea of a process based on reception, then direction, producing rejection and impact upon the rejecting agency ordained. Direction, rejection, and I suppose a stream of energy rejects a higher stream of energy is a rejecting agency. And the impact must occur below. The power of these directed streams rejects the lower forms. Power of these rejecting streams rejects the lower astral forms, banishing them, I suppose. So here it's quite interesting. In the Cosmic Fire, we were talking about what it takes to get to the cosmic astral plane and to begin to work in this way. And here in a Raised in Initiations, we're actually shown what this work will be. Okay, well, there's going to be a lot more work to be done on this stanza. Very demanding. But maybe if we can assimilate enough with the three treatments of the second cosmic path, when we get to the archaic stanza, it might be that we will not be, well, we'll be bewildered, absolutely, but maybe not hopelessly bewildered. Maybe some leading thought will emerge. So there is reception, but who is receiving? Is the master receiving the love from the cosmic astral plane? Let's put it this way. Is the master receiving the love to be transmitted? Love to be transmitted from the cosmic astral plane? This may be the case. So then direction, which he directs through the triangle, producing rejection of the undesirable forms and impact of pure energy, where the rejection, of a pure substituting energy, of a pure energy to be substituted, where the stream of rejecting energy determined the impact should occur. Maybe. To be substituted. Right. So anyway, we understand that there is a clearing of lower astral energy and a substitution. It's like, you know, you have dirty water and a stream of pure water will come toward it, but in this, with the application of the stream, it won't just be a mixture. There will be a way of actually banishing, rejecting, maybe purifying the dirt, getting it out of the way so that a purer type of energy can take its place. Another aspect of the work done by the master on the second path is the drawing off. Well, okay, there we go. This kind of drawing off of those faces of glamour which are no longer have the power to deceive mankind. So they must not clutter the systemic astral plane. or our planetary portion, planetary portion of the systemic astral plane. They are not allowed to accumulate or remain on the astral plane, just the way, you know, dead bodies should be burned, and they're not allowed to accumulate in the earth, should not be allowed, and or if they're left unburied, they should not be allowed to pollute the air, the atmosphere, the environment. So this is a ensuring that no poisoning effect comes from decaying forms. Ensuring. Okay. Ensuring that no poisoning effect comes from decaying astral forms. They are therefore, through the magnetic power of the Master, withdrawn from our planetary life and are occultly absorbed by the Master. Well, okay, this must be a sacrificial act. Second ray types absorb negativity. And at expense to themselves. But they can transmute it. And perhaps that is what happens here. The substance of the glamour, purified and freed from all that conditioned it, and this is substance of the glamour, this is simply astral matter. Or simply matter, substance of the astral plane, not formed into glamorous forms, purified and freed from all that conditioned it on the planetary astral plane, and with only the pure essence retained, sets the law in motion, which draws this purified remainder into the cosmic astral plane. Let's look at that. The substance of the glamour, purified and freed from all that conditioned it on the planetary astral plane, and with only the pure essence retained, sets the law in motion, which draws the purified remainder into the cosmic astral plane. You might wonder, how can this be possible? Can astral matter be so elevated in frequency as to be drawn into a place, a plane, of much, much higher frequency? Well, presuming that the cosmic astral plane is prakritic, well, we're not sure about that. And DK says we cannot know. We cannot know. But anyway, what is the essence? With only the pure essence retained. So we have to ask, you know, what is the nature of this pure essence? Of this, maybe it is somehow buddhi or somehow some higher form of substance. Maybe some higher form of substance which can be drawn into the cosmic astral plane. Well, this deals with some kind of cosmic physics, which is certainly beyond me, and I don't know. It will be something that has to be studied. We can begin to realize that our minds are not very acute yet, and we do not have the experience to confronting these energy flows. They, you know, they don't mean anything real to us. They are simply concepts at this point. So the substance of the glamour, it is substance energy, which is no longer in glamorous formation, into glamorous forms, purified and free from all that conditioned it, namely human thought and human desire, on the planetary astral plane, and with only the pure essence retained. See, that's the question. What is this pure essence? And we might say, that the pure essence is even akin to the essence of the cosmic astral plane. Anyway, it can be drawn into. It is refined enough to be drawn into the cosmic astral plane. Now, how this works, who at this point can tell? I guess what's important is we realize that these masters, with their great knowledge of energy and of all the frequencies of energy and all the types of energy, and working within a great second ray vortex, apparently really do work to purify our astral plane from the dangerous glamours, especially those during the Second World War and those perpetrated by Germany, which were such a threat to all humanity. I would say even now they're going to have their work cut out for them, because in the religious field there are just dangerous glamours occurring. Constantly, therefore, this great circulatory process goes on. Now, circulatory process, rejecting and drawing off. So entering, rejecting, drawing off, which is return of the essence, which had been glamorously configured. This great circulatory process goes on, demonstrating anew the essential synthesis, the interrelatedness underlying all life, human, planetary, systemic, and cosmic. There are no real barriers, and all can interplay if the laws of interplay are known. It reveals also the law of attraction, the law of magnetic work, and the law of synthesis. This is the path related to the path of magnetic work, I suppose. And the cosmic law of synthesis are three aspects of one law, for which as yet we have no name. We can always resolve a related three into a one. But in this case, the law of synthesis is the highest term that we have. Law of attraction. Does he talk about the law of magnetic work? He talks about the law of the law of polar union, the law of magnetic impulse. He talks about that. The law of attraction is a second ray law. The law of synthesis, more a first ray law. Are these first two systemic laws and the cosmic law of synthesis a cosmic law? Are the first two laws systemic and the last one cosmic? He calls the last law cosmic, definitely. It might be said that masters working on the second path are working in relation to and in contact with certain great lives who work on the periphery of the constellation Libra, the balances. Now notice here, he didn't give us this before. He only gave us Gemini. And I have often said that Libra should be also related to the second ray. This is due to the fact that those masters who can work with magnetic energies and with the three above laws have achieved a point of balance which makes their work possible. So one is reminded okay, that's a good one. If I can do that, RMDD. RM reminded. Oh, there it is. Okay, so we'll get rid of that. One is reminded of the role which Libra played in the first law, or in the path of Earth service. So triangles are figures of balance, are figures indicating balance. And Libra has for its real symbol a triangle, as we were told in the law of magnetic impulse, that the real law, the real symbol, hierarchical symbol of Libra has more to do with the triangle, two parts of which are like balls of fire, but that the symbol has been adapted or somehow changed. So if we work with magnetic energies and with the three above laws, and let's remind ourselves of them, the law of attraction, the law of magnetic work, okay, and the law of synthesis, a point of balance is required. It's almost like neutral electricity related to solar fire, and not a positive or negative electricity. So the point of balance makes this possible. It involves also a poised attention and directive power. It's almost like the archer. We say almost like the stance one must take to shoot an arrow from a bow. So there is poise, directive power, permitting the inflow of energies from Libra, which could not otherwise enter our planetary life at all. Well, maybe some energies from Libra do enter, because Libra is growing in power in the planetary horoscope. But these energies could not enter. We might say of energies, and we might say of certain energies from Libra which otherwise could not enter. These Libra energies, yes, enter our solar system via the heart of the sun, and are peculiarly amenable to magnetic attraction and distribution. So, in my mind, there is no question but that we must associate the second ray with Libra, and not just the third ray. If they come in via the heart of the sun, and I assume this to be now the soul of the solar logos, or maybe, you know, the other hearts of the sun, they are definitely coming in on the second ray. Now, you know, it kind of makes me want to take a look here And, okay, I'm having some kind of trouble here with a mouse trouble. Let's see what happens now. I'm going to go here to the, and I'm going to just take a look here. Heart, okay, heart of the sun. And this is from, I guess one could even go down and do this. And cosmic astral heart of the sun, possibly. Heart of the sun as the etheric heart center, yes. In addition to subjective sun, not heart of the sun, but related to the astral body. Solar angels from the heart of the sun, backup of solar angels, okay. Heart of the sun, an ambiguous term, meaning a structure. Cosmic astral, and then heart of the sun different from the subjective sun. Subjective sun different from the heart of the sun. Heart of the sun, okay, you know, I'm trying to. Heart of the sun, spiritual sun is the same as the heart of the sun. Mental body, lower. Heart of the sun, relate to it. Heart of the sun, related to both the higher and lower mental bodies. Let's see what else. Some of these are the same. Earth related uniquely to the heart of the sun. Vulcan connected with the heart of the sun. Libra and the heart of the sun. This we're looking at. Physical sun. Sevenfold heart on the Buddhic plane. But that may be not of the sun. Lower solar angels return to the heart of the sun and higher to the central spiritual sun. Cosmic mental plane, is the heart of the sun located there or not? Let's see what this looks like. Their whole training is concerned with planetary systemic and building, cosmic building of the Antikorana, for it is via the Antikorana that spirit works. Forget not that relating our planet to the planet Venus is a planetary Antikorana passing from thence to the heart of the sun and later to the cosmic mental plane. So this seems to imply a heart of the sun which is rather related to the cosmic astral plane. Sun veils Jupiter and Leo. Okay, heart of the sun differentiated from the cosmic mental plane, it is. And are those all that I have? Well, this can be an important search. Because, you know, the egoic lotus is a kind of heart center. And solar angels are cosmic mental beings. So what I'm going to do here, just for fun, is just look at a couple of references. And we'll see. We're getting quite close, you know. Let's take a look here. Heart of the sun. 81 references. Heavens. That's a lot. So we'll just take a look at some of them. Heart of the sun. The golden rays that issues from the heart of the sun bathe my soul and the soul of all created forms. So it's the soul is the correspondence of the heart of the sun. The physical sun, the heart of the sun, and the central spiritual sun, the three aspects, definitely the heart of the sun has to be in relation to the soul of the solar logos. The hierarchy. Aspirant to the hierarchy of the heart of the sun. In its immediate form, it is that which reveals to the aspirant and to the hierarchy the heart of the sun. Energies from the heart of the sun can reach him through the hierarchy. Okay, well, that doesn't tell us anything for sure. A triangle composed of the light of the spiritual triad of a light which is streaming forth from the heart of the sun. We're not understanding that. Radiant solar energy straight from the heart of the sun. technically speaking, esoterically, the way to the heart of the sun, the paths, the plans of the planetary logos upon the systemic path, esoterically, the way towards the heart of the sun, the path of the solar logos is going upon the cosmic path. So the planetary logos looks like it's definitely going to a place that is higher than something to be found on the cosmic etheric planes. Imagine a center between the shoulder blades as a radiant sun. I might point out that this is, in the individual, the microcosmic correspondence of the heart of the sun, which is always directed by the central spiritual sun located in the head. So this is something that I'm beginning to understand a little bit more, that the central spiritual sun can also be considered to be in the head center of the solar logos. Well, physical sun, heart of the sun, and central spiritual sun, again, it looks like the three aspects. The rod of the solar logos is hidden in the heart of the sun, that mysterious subjective sphere which lies back of our physical sun, and of which the physical sun is but the environing shield and envelope. Sometimes the heart of the sun is called the subjective sun, soul, sun, ego, love, heart of the sun. Well, there it is. It's the soul correspondence. It's as if the term heart of the sun means many things. Soul love, the central spiritual sun, spirit life, and power. Okay, well, that's Alice Bailey giving the correspondences. Surya, solar fire, Vishnu, heart of the sun. Brahma, the physical visible sun. And the central spiritual sun, well, that's the monadic correspondence. The heart of the sun in its relation to higher and lower mental bodies, producing the causal body. Okay. Are gathered back by the solar petries of the highest order into the heart of the sun. Well, it seems to me that if these solar petries were somehow gathered into the a heart center of the solar logos, it would not be much of a gathering, because they've already been to higher planes. Floods of energy come forth. The heart of the solar system from whence they are drawn. Well, the heart of the solar system can be upon the cosmic etheric planes from a certain point of view. The mystery of polarity, the latent, it is latent in the heart of the sun, i.e. the subjective sun. But the soul is called subjective. He learns to work from the heart and therefore to manipulate the energy which streams from the heart of the sun. Until when he becomes a Buddha, he can dispense somewhat the force emanating from the spiritual sun. Okay, the center in the head, which corresponds to the heart. Okay. Demonstrating through the solar angel. Well, behind the outer physical solar system, from what is called the sevenfold division of the logoic heart, or the sun in its sevenfold nature, as it is seen lying esoterically behind the outer physical solar system. Okay. So that can be etheric. Okay. Emanating from the logoic lotus via the heart of the sun. And have reference to the nature of the solar sphere. Well, I do think, well, here we have causal body. Medium, the heart of the sun, cosmic love, solar love, causal body, jewel, cosmic will. Here's the solar logos in his causal body. The medium is called the heart of the sun. I guess what I'm gathering here, the egoic lotus of the human being on the mental plane, which is literally a correspondence to the heart of the sun. No question about it here. Page 1206, I guess we've already studied this. This monadic point is a reflection in the human system of the central spiritual sun. So this is page 1205, and I think we have to include this. This is TCF and 1205. Well, what can we conclude here? The heart of the sun is a protean term. We have to be very careful what it does mean, because it does not always necessarily mean the egoic lotus. The egoic lotus of a human being on the mental plane, which is literally a correspondence to the heart of the sun, literally. So, DK uses the word literally here. Well, there are many hearts of the sun. Hearts of the sun. And we must know which ones we are speaking about. So if the solar angels return to the heart of the sun, and they have already been to the cosmic astral plane monadically, then the cosmic etheric cosmic entity, cosmic etheric heart of the sun is not the place from which they return. But I certainly do have a new respect for the varieties of the heart of the sun that are mentioned, and a feeling that we must be very careful in designating which heart of the sun we're talking about. When solar angels are breathed out to become planetary logoi, I cannot see how we can simply be dealing with the etheric nature of the planet. But now, you know, this is one of those, what shall I call it, an unpleasant or pleasant surprise? It's an unpleasant surprise in as much as I think I had too rigidly interpreted heart of the sun as related to the causal body of the solar logos, and yet it is. But there's also a subjective sun, I think, on the cosmic astral plane, and also an etheric heart of the sun on the cosmic mental plane. And there are different, they are different sources for different types of energies, and they represent different destinations for different beings. Well, let's see. This would be, let's just say, this would be the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary number 20A, Paths of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 59, but I am not going to end this. I would like to make my way up to the boundary of the archaic stanza related to this path. Can one be successful in doing that? Well, there's only... there's quite a bit. Let's see. All these paths, etc., etc. And here's the archaic stanza. So that's not too bad. That's not too bad. So let's see where we are. One, two, three. All these paths gradually come into being when our planetary logos created the Earth and started the involutionary process of creation, leading in due time, but much later, to evolution. Well, what about the paths from the other planetary logoi to these destinations? Did they too come into existence when such planetary logoi emerged? Is that possible? They are therefore, all of them, paths of return. When our planetary logos created the Earth and started the involutionary process of creation. So maybe, maybe the monads, which were to participate in his creation, descended via these paths, maybe. So we have involution and evolution. They are, all of them, therefore, paths of return. The second path was one of the first to be used. And again, quoting from the old commentary, the door opened, once opening inward, now opens outward and permits the exit of those who hold the key. A fifth ray term, because they entered by the door, that door, in eons long gone by. So we have the idea that one exits by the door through which one enters. Is this true despite free will? Or a completely free choice? Maybe some, well, even if you exit by the wrong door, you can always find your way back onto the right path, I suspect. I think all of these paths are interrelated. All the masters, and not only those upon the fifth ray. Notice he says, he refers to masters on the fifth ray. Does he mean monadic ray or soul ray? Receive careful training in the manipulation of energies, all. But I think the masters on the fifth ray, or Chohans on the fifth ray, can do it with greater specificity, and hence the statement of the Master K.H. to his disciples that the occultist has to learn to master and control the forces and energies within himself. The disciple and the initiate work with hierarchical energies and with forces of the kingdoms of nature in the three worlds, and the master receives instruction in handling of the energies which are extraplanetary, but within the solar ring pass not. So important point. The disciple is working with forces of the kingdoms of nature in the three worlds, I presume, presumably, even the human kingdom. The master receives instruction in the handling of energies which are extraplanetary but within the solar ring pass not. Those masters whose decision it is to tread the second path are taught to control and direct the control and direction of systemic energies and of certain energies coming from Libra and from one of the stars in the constellation of the Great Bear. Well, you know, if this is a predominantly love path, is it Mizar, the second star? So, and Libra, of course, is a cosmic energy, right? In the more advanced stages of their work, and when the master is far more advanced than the word indicates, right? I mean, this is a generic term we use, so we're really talking about Chohans, right? We are really talking of Chohans. He works consciously upon the cosmic mental plane. Uh-huh. even on this path of magnetic work, which leads to the cosmic astral plane. But then I have supposed that maybe the operation of the path of absolute sonship and of the path of magnetic work are interpenetrating and work together. Interpenetrating. His activities will then be concerned with the relation of the energies of the Great Bear to the Pleiades and their dual relationship, a higher correspondence to Atma Buddhi. Aha. And there is the big hint. There is the big hint. Hint to be considered in relation to TCF 1162 and TCF 344. So I'm going to copy that and well, why do I pause there? It's a 405 in Raising Initiations. RI 405. So this is proof that the Great Bear, must be related to the cosmic CS. No. Oh, this is US. I can't do that. See how that goes? You've got to be ready to do the UK, otherwise your word substitutions will not work. Cosmic Atmic Plane. So, this is a very important factor here. And I'll put that in the AAB extracts. And why do I say that's important? Because if we go here to this map on page 344, we see that the Great Bear, these are the seven something of the Great Bear. Can't read it, it's too small. The seven rishis of the Great Bear, behind being the seven centers in a solar logos. And of course, the word solar logos doesn't mean solar as we consider it. Even our one about whom not may be said is a solar logos from that point of view. But anyway, look, it's on the cosmic Buddhic plane here. The seven stars of the Great Bear are on the cosmic Buddhic plane and not on the cosmic atmic. But we just read that the activities, who are they? Here's the master on the path of magnetic work. His activities will then be concerned with the relation of the energies of the Great Bear to the Pleiades and their dual relationship, a higher correspondence to Atma Buddhi. So Atma is definitely the Great Bear and Buddhi is the Pleiades. Interesting. Okay, now we go to page 1162 of Cosmic Fire. And we learn that the planetary logos is the meeting place for two types of forces, spiritual or logoic, which reach him via the logoic lotus on the cosmic mental plane, and there is one, from the seven rishis of the Great Bear on their own plane, and secondly, a Buddhic force, which is transmitted via the seven sisters or the Pleiades. So on their own plane refers now to the atmic plane. It's not the same as the Buddhic plane, a cosmic Buddhic force. Well, okay, that was, I knew that one existed, and I'm just going to make another one, and we'll call it Atmic Great Bear. Doc X. All right. Now, I know we're way over, but I did want to finish this part. Well, there we are. It is, in a sense, finished. 20 minutes late, of course. So this is the true end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries, number 20A, with a little bit of B, but call it 20A. And Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, page 60. And beginning what will no doubt be arduous of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 21A, Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, page 60. Well, friends, this is the most demanding mental work I've ever had to do. It probably sounds like it. Those long, But okay, it's, you know, it's the Aries attitude. You plunge in and let the chips fall where they may. There will be consequences, I know, but I have a feeling that, well, that was quite a discovery, that thing about the heart of the sun. There's so, the many meanings of the heart of the sun, but it's literally a correspondence to the causal body. But, you know, the causal body is reflected in the subjective sun on the cosmic astral plane and on another cosmic etheric heart center on the cosmic etheric plane. So just like our own egoic lotus reflected in our astral heart center and in our etheric heart center, we have to consider all of that as part of a kind of heart of the sun stream of energy. Yeah, we have to be able to do that. All right, friends, time flies when you're having fun, and it's quite late here, and my wife is probably wondering whatever happened to me. You know, you sit down for an hour and suddenly it's 4 hours. So we'll get into this hair-tearing archaic stanza from Cosmic Fire 1270 soon. And meanwhile, we'll get this sent out to you, whatever year you may review it or hear it. I'm trying to work on a method whereby exact timing for certain subjects can be put on YouTube so you can plug in the time and reach the point. But that will be a huge indexing task. Maybe we'll find somebody who wants to do that. It will consume some years of their lives, I would think. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.